الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we had an introduction to the chapter. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب من جحد شيئا من الأسماء والصفات. The chapter with regards to the ruling and clarification and the warning of the one who has denied something from the names and attributes, meaning denied something from the names and attributes that have been established and affirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen that the issue here is very dangerous, to deny something from those names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning even if it was one name. And we have seen examples for that and how this could lead a person to destruction in the hereafter. And in reality, by denying one name or one attribute, to deny it entirely could be disbelief. To deny it entirely without any interpretation and to belie one of the names or attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disbelief and contrary to tawheed in entirety. Yunafi al-tawheed min aslihi. And if one were to misinterpret some of the texts because of a misunderstanding and because of a shubha, like many of the people of innovation have done, then it will be lesser than disbelief and they will be excused for this affair. And they'll be excused for this affair. But no doubt, this is something that is very dangerous and related directly to al-tawheed. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship, from the evidences and proofs for that, and from that which clarifies that, is that He is the one who possesses the attributes of perfection. And He has no deficiency whatsoever. So therefore, is directly related to the topic of this work, which is Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. We have seen in our previous class, in general, the summarization of the proper creed in these beautiful names and lofty attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that they are established upon two principles, An-Nafyu wa Ithbat. An-Nafyu wa Ithbat. What is intended by An-Nafyu? Tanzih Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an kulli aibin wa naqs, wa ithbat al-kamal lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mutlaq. This issue here it's established on two principles, and that is negation and affirmation. And that is negation and affirmation. And the negation, what is intended, is to free Allah from every defect and every fault, and to declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe that He is free in His beautiful names and attributes from every defect and from every fault. He has no deficiency and no fault whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to affirm perfection for Him from every aspect, absolute perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the issue here. And this is based upon a verse in Surah Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. That there is nothing like unto His likeness, and meaning there is nothing comparable or similar to Him whatsoever, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. There is a benefit here, and the people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to this verse, and likewise with regards to this principle. So this principle is derived from the likes of this verse. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began with negation. He began with tanzih, laysa kamithlihi shay'. In the beginning of this verse, laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing resembling to Him whatsoever. So this is the tanzih, and this is to declare Allah free from any peer or rival or anything similar to Him. There's nothing like Him or similar to Him or unto His likeness. subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what it is, not in his names and not in his attributes, not in his attributes. And then after that, there's affirmation. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And then after that, there's affirmation, affirming two beautiful names that indicate two beautiful attributes. The first one, السَّمِيعُ, the all-hearing. The all-hearing. This is from the beautiful names of Allah, السَّمِيعُ. He is the one who hears all things. He is the one who hears all things, far and near. It's all easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hears all sounds and all voices, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his name, Al-Basir. Wal-Basir. Al-Basir is the one who sees all things. So here in the name As-Sami is the affirmation of the perfect attribute of As-Sami', hearing. The attribute of perfection with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, the perfect and absolute hearing. And likewise in Al-Basir, Al-Basr, the attribute of sight and seeing. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He is As-Sami', He hears all things. And He is Al-Basir, and He sees all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now the benefit is that Allah, He began with negation and tanzih. That Allah, He began with negation and tanzih. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is upon the principle At-Tahliya Qabla At-Tahliya. At-Tahliya Qabla At-Tahliya. At-Tahliya Qabla At-Tahliya. It means to first you have to remove everything that is incorrect and everything that is corrupted, and then in place of that, build on top of that and bring in that which is good. For example, with regards to the purification of the soul, this principle is established here. And that means a person, in order to purify his soul, he must remove all of the filth. He must remove all of the misconceptions. He must remove all of the desires that are contrary to faith. And then after that, takhliya, after removing this filth and these things that are contrary to faith, he will build on top of that, at-tahliya. And then he will build and cultivate the proper creed and the proper belief and the proper faith and the proper manners and the proper etiquettes and the likes like this. So this is the issue. In order to truly purify something and to have it proper, first it must be cleaned out entirely. And then in place after that, one will build and put in that which is good. So likewise in this creed and belief and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, for it to be pure and for it to be proper, the one, he must remove from his mind entirely. He must remove from his mind entirely any resemblance to the creation. In order to believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, in the manner prescribed and legislated, and to make the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, to single him out entirely with regards to these beautiful names and attributes, the first step of a believer, he must remove from his mind every resemblance, every thought or idea of resemblance to the creation. Every thought, every idea of the resemblance to the creation. There's nothing like him whatsoever. So this is how Allah, He began. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. With this absolute tanzih, there's nothing like him. There's nothing comparable to him. There's nothing similar to him. There's nothing that resembles him. Not in any aspect, not in any manner. So first we have this tanzih, and then after that is understood that there's nothing comparable to him, there's nothing resembling him, there's nothing like him, there's nothing like unto his likeness whatsoever. Now that this is established and the heart is pure from that, now he affirms, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir, and he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So that means that the hearing is affirmed for him, but there's nothing like him whatsoever. And that the sight and the seeing is affirmed for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's nothing like him whatsoever. So this is the case with all of the attributes that are affirmed in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, that there is nothing like unto his likeness, and there's nothing resembling him to him whatsoever. But whatever is affirmed in these texts, then we affirm them, because Allah, He knows best about himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after him, from his creation, is his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knows best about Allah Azza wa Jalla and his names and his attributes. Now there's another benefit some of the people of knowledge they mentioned with regards to choosing here these two attributes. There's nothing like unto his likeness, and he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has many beautiful attributes, many beautiful names and lofty attributes. But here He has chosen to mention these two, As-Sami'u al-basir, the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned a great benefit here. And that is that if we look into all of the creatures from the creation that are alive, from the animals and the likes, we will find that almost all of them, they have this attribute, the attribute of seeing and hearing. All of the creatures and animals that are alive, that are created by Allah Azza wa Jal, all of the creation, almost all of them, the ants, and the people and the animals and so on and so forth, almost all of them, they have this attribute of seeing and hearing. And the hearing of one animal is not like the hearing of another, and the sight of one animal is not like the sight of another. And in the fish, they have the ability to see, and likewise the horse has the ability to see, and the cat has the ability to see, and the ant and the bee, all of them, they have the ability to see. And it's not the same, and it's not the same. The way that they see and the manner that they use this sight and benefit from this attribute is different. It's different, and in all of these different creations, and likewise, the hearing. So this is established in the creation, and that all of them, they have this same attribute, but all of them are different, and the reality of how that attribute is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lillahi al-mathal al-a'la. Then likewise it could be established clearly that as Allah, He mentioned about Himself, He sees and He hears, but it's not like anything in the creation. It's not like anything in the creation. So this is a great benefit to ponder over. In order to believe properly in these names and attributes, the first must be complete tanzih. But the tanzih is without ta'athil. Tanzihun bila ta'athil with batun bila tamthil, and to affirm that which is established in the book and in the sunnah from those names and attributes without resembling them to the creation whatsoever. So laysa kamithlihi shay, this is to free Allah from every resemblance and everything that is comparable or similar to Him. That's the first approach. After that, to affirm what is affirmed in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the second principle we took in our previous class, which is of utmost importance in this chapter, in this issue of a sifat, al-asma'i wa sifat, is the statement of the people of knowledge. Al-kalamu fi sifati far'un an al-kalami fi dhat. Al-kalamu fi sifati far'un an al-kalami fi dhat. That to speak about the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla is stemming from speaking about His essence, about His that, His self, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and we believe that He exists, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do not know the reality of His existence, and we believe that He is alive and never dies, but we do not know the reality of His life because He has not informed us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise the rest of the attributes as well. Likewise, the rest of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, that which has been established in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, we believe in them as well, as they have come in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, and we do not know how they are. But we do not know how they are. So we affirm that. Just as we affirm for Him that, al-muqaddasa subhanahu wa ta'ala, we affirm for Him all of the sifat as well in the same manner, without asking how, and without liking them to the creation, and without denying them, and without distorting the meanings. Whether we affirm them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the meanings of these attributes, and we do not know how the reality is with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, the author, he's mentioning this chapter to clarify the dangers of this affair. That it is something that is contrary to faith, and contrary to tawheed entirety, to deny a name or an attribute from the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned evidences for this, and he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. And the statement of Allah the Most High, and they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. And they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. What is intended here? They, the mushrikun from the Arab in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it has come in the Sunnah, in the Sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah, that Suhail ibn Amr, he had come to the Prophet ﷺ to make a truce. And whenever he did, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered them to make the truce and to write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to write the truce and the treaties in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious and the Most Merciful. And Suhail, he said, Wallahi ma nadri ma ar-Rahman. He said, we swear by Allah, we don't know who is ar-Rahman. We don't know anyone except for Rahman al-Yamama, referring to Usaylama al-Kadhab, yani the one who claimed to be a prophet, and he had tried to take on this name. So the point is that he denied this name, and he belied this name. And the Arab at this time, they disbelieved in this, yani, and rejected this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called this disbelief, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ, because they belied this name here of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And has been mentioned likewise even in Mecca, that they found fault with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to hear him in his sujood, that he used to call on Allah and he used to call on Ar-Rahman. And then sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his supplication, he would say, Oh Allah, and he would ask for supplications. Other times he would say, Oh Rahman, and the likes like this. So then they would try to find fault with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would say, look at him, he claims that he's worshipping only one God, but he's calling on Allah this time and calling on Ar-Rahman that time. And this is whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed, قُلُوا دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ دُعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيِّن مَا تَدُعُوا فَلُوهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Call on Allah, or call on Ar-Rahman, whichever one you call on, for verily to him belong all of the most beautiful names. So Allah, he is Ar-Rahman. So Allah, he is Ar-Rahman. And this is from his beautiful names and attributes, indicating the attribute of vast and encompassing mercy. The point here is that the Arab, they disbelieved in this name. They believe in Allah. They believe in Allah. Even whenever he mentioned this, he said, Uktub Allahumma, Bismika Allahumma. Uktub Bismika Allahumma. He said, we don't know who is Ar-Rahman. Write in the name of, in your name, O Allah. In your name, O Allah, like this. So they affirmed the name Allah, and they affirmed their belief in Allah, but they belied and denied the name of Ar-Rahman. So Allah, he had called this disbelief. So this is a clear proof for the author, yani, and the issue of denying something from those names. And we have seen in our previous class an example like that. And what Allah, he mentioned about those who they didn't even deny the name entirely, or the attribute entirely, the attribute of knowledge, the attribute of knowledge. ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون. But rather you thought that Allah, he doesn't know Allah, much of that which you used to do. And Allah mentioned about them that they have been destroyed. That they had been destroyed because of this thought, that they thought about Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning they affirmed the attribute of knowledge for Allah, but they didn't affirm it in perfection. And they thought that Allah, he knew some things that they would say and that they would do, and other things he did not know. And in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And this is your foul thought about your Lord that has destroyed you, and now you have become from amongst the losers, and from the people of misguidance, and those who will be punished in the hereafter, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, because of this misinterpretation and misunderstanding in the name and attribute. So even if a person, he didn't deny the attribute entirely, or the name entirely, but he misunderstood it and did not affirm it in the proper manner, this is a dangerous affair. This is a dangerous affair related to the foundation of faith, the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. After this, the author, he mentions, وَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي قال علي رضي الله عنه حدث الناس بما يعرفون حدث الناس بما يعرفون تريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. And the author, he mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari from the hadith of Ali رضي الله عنه that he said حدثوا الناس بما يعرفون, speak to the people in that which they know, talk to the people about that which they know. أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. Would you like, or do you want that Allah and His Messenger be belied and be denied? صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do you want that Allah and His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to be denied or disbelieved in? And this is a great benefit and a great point. حدث الناس بما يعرفون. Speak to the people with regards to the issues that they know, any of the affairs that are clear for them and that they understand. أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله؟ Would you, do you want that Allah and His Messenger be disbelieved in or to be belied? Meaning that a person, if he's not careful and he's not looking into the situation and the people who he's speaking with and teaching them little by little and in a beautiful manner, principle by principle and step by step, the small affairs before the large affairs and the likes like this, building up their creed and belief first with the fundamentals and foundations, maybe he could say something to them in a manner that they will misunderstand. And because of this, they could disbelieve in what they hear from the authentic text, or they could find fault with that and the likes like this. So therefore, what is incumbent is for a person to speak to the people according to their intelligence and according to their level of knowledge, and to not go beyond the limits or the boundaries, and to address issues that are beyond their comprehension and ability. The student who is a new student, you will build his fundamentals and foundations before touching on the more detailed affairs. Because if a person, he delves into the detailed affairs, especially in some of the issues of aqidah, or with regards to some of the names and attributes, before having a foundation, and before understanding the proper understanding and how to deal with the likes of these texts, maybe he will misunderstand and he will misinterpret. And then because of this, a doubt would fall into his heart. And maybe he will belie or deny some of the authentic texts. Maybe he will misinterpret or deny or find fault with some verses from the Quran or an authentic hadith because of this affair. So the point here is to not turn away from speaking to the people or clarifying the truth to the people or hiding the truth from the people. But what is intended here is to speak to the people on a level that they understand. And before introducing the difficult and detailed affairs in the religion, especially in creed, you build the foundation first. You solidify the creed and the belief and the heart with the proper and clear principles. And then after that, by way of this knowledge, they will be able to comprehend and understand the more detailed affairs that may not be so clear. And this is with regards to creed, and likewise with regards to methodology. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, with regards to methodology, sometimes a person, maybe they do not know the evidences with regards to the ruler and the right of the ruler. And there are some texts that if they're not referred back to the clear text, they could appear or be misunderstood that it's permissible to go against the ruler and the likes like this. And some of the people of innovation, they'll hold on to these texts and they'll mention these texts, and then they'll leave off the rest of the evidences. They clarify the right of the ruler and the obligation of obeying him, whether he is pious or whether he's wicked, so long as he establishes the prayer, and clarifying the dangers of opposing the ruler and the likes like this. So therefore, if a person here begin with the texts that, for example, are not clear in this issue, and then mention these to the people who have no foundation, they could be easily riled up against the ruler, and they could be easily misled in this manner, and they could easily have a misunderstanding in this particular issue. So the first thing a person he will do is he will mention the foundation and the fundamentals with regards to this, and the evidences that support that, and then the evidences that are principles for this particular topic. And then after that, a person, he will be able to understand the other verses or the other texts that are not so clear by way of these clear and direct, and these clear and direct evidences. So this is the case. What is intended here is to speak to the people and to teach them with tadarruj, and to observe the different levels and ranks that they are with regards to knowledge. This has in Sahih Bukhari, he's mentioning that Bukhari, he mentioned a chapter. He says, بابو من خص بالعلم قوما دون قوم كراهية ألا يفهموا. The chapter with regards to the one who has specified a people with knowledge over others. And he has selected and chose certain people to give them certain knowledge over others, afraid that they may not understand. So this is not considered concealing knowledge, but rather building the people. So a person who has not reached a higher level, he will not be addressed with that knowledge that's on that higher status. Rather, he will learn the foundations first. And the one who is on a higher level, then he will be able to delve into the more detailed affairs of the religion and to discuss those issues and the likes like this. So this is what is intended. It has come in Sahih Muslim likewise from the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, "Ma anta bi muhaddithin qawman hadithan la tablughuhu uquluhum illa kana li ba'dihim fitna. Illa kana li ba'dihim fitna. Ma anta bi muhaddithin qawman hadithan la tablughuhu uquluhum illa kana li ba'dihim fitna." He said, "You will never speak to a people in a manner with an issue that their intelligence does not understand, or that their minds do not reach, except for it will be a trial for some of them. You will never speak to a people with about topics or issues that they do not understand. Their intelligence do not reach it, except for it will be a trial or a fitna for some of them." And sometimes a person, he may be an issue in the religion may be presented to him, and if he does not have the fundamentals and the foundations, it may be a trial for him or a fitna. He may misunderstand and misinterpret the affair, and this could cause him to belie the Quran or to deny the Sunnah and the likes like this. So this is the issue. So a believer, he would not want that. He would not want, like in the narration of Ali, he would not want for the people to belie Allah Azza wa Jalla, or to deny the Quran, or to misunderstand or misinterpretate the Quran or the Hadith and the likes like this. Rather, he would do his best to help them understand properly. So, and this requires to teach them in stages and little by little. وَلَكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. So you be رَبَّانِيِّينَ. يعني الرَّبَّانِ is the one who teaches the people the small knowledge before the big knowledge. And this is the case here, and this is what is intended. So to teach in this manner, and specifically with regards to the names and attributes. Specifically with regards to the names and attributes. A person, he will not mention them any to a people that may be tried by that, or they do not have the foundations of that, or the fundamentals of that. The proper way is to teach the foundations and the fundamentals first, and then after that to introduce the examples, and to mention the evidences that have come, and how they're understood based upon these principles, in order for the evidence to be affirmed properly and clearly. And likewise, with regards to this issue, a person, he will not mention the doubts of the people of misguidance, yani in the beginning, to the beginner, student of knowledge. Because many times the person who is a beginner, his heart with regards to knowledge, his heart is empty. And his heart is empty, he's seeking knowledge. So he has no foundations, he has no fundamentals. And if he hears the doubts of the people of misguidance first, then maybe they'll sink into his heart. Maybe they'll sink into his heart. So it's very dangerous in the beginning, especially for a person who is setting out seeking knowledge, if he is not given success to meet the people of the Sunnah and the people of the proper creed and belief and the people who have the proper methodology and the people who have the proper understanding and the proper manners and the likes like this, because he'll be affected by them. And if it's not a blessing from Allah, maybe he'll remain upon that way. Many times this is the case, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he favors whom he wills, and he brings out of darkness into the light of Tawheed whom he will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But someone who is setting out on the path to seek knowledge, he will not study the differences of opinions in fiqh first, nor will he study the doubts and the misunderstandings of the innovators first. Rather, he will study and he will learn the fundamentals and the foundation, and he will learn the truth clearly with its proof, and then after that is established and affirmed, now he will be able to learn yani the aspect of the doubts of the disbelievers and the doubts of the people of innovation, and be able to learn the aspect of its falsehood and how to refute that. An example of that is that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to two works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. The first one is this work here, Kitabu al-Tawheed. And the second one is, his book is entitled Kashfu al-Shubuhat. Kitabu al-Tawheed is the book of al-Tawheed. And the second book is called Kashfu al-Shubuhat, revealing the doubts. Revealing the doubts, Kashfu al-Shubuhat, al-Shubuhat al-Mushrikeen. Revealing the doubts of the pagans and polytheists. The people of knowledge, they highly advise that one, he will not study. That one, he will not study Kashf al-Shubuhat until first he studies Kitab al-Tawheed. He will not go into learning the doubts and delving into the doubts and the misconceptions and misunderstandings and the misinterpretation of the mushrikeen and the people of innovation and the likes like this. First, he will learn Tawheed properly. He will study Kitab al-Tawheed, And he will learn the aspects of Tawheed al-Ibadah and all of the chapters and the issues related to that from the details of the likes of what is mentioned in this book. And after that is established, now he has the keys and the foundation. He's able to look at these doubts that the mushrikun have and to be able to see the falsehood of that and understand how to refute it. So likewise, whenever one is speaking with the people, he will also observe that. If he's speaking with the layman and the likes like this, he will not introduce the shubuhat first, before building their creed and their foundation and fundamentals. And if the shubuhat are mentioned, any for a particular wisdom, or if they're because of speaking to the people who are qualified, and sometimes maybe it's a benefit to mention the shubha, yani even to the awam specifically sometimes, yani in certain circumstances. If that occurs, it will be mentioned along with a clear refutation. From the mistakes is that some people they will do, they'll mention a shubha and then they'll just leave it like that for the people to ponder over and to reflect upon. They mention the shubha and the doubt and the misunderstanding and misconception and then not clarify its falsehood. Just cast it into the hearts of the people and leave it there. This is not correct likewise. يعني the حَدِّثُ النَّاسِ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ تُحِبُّ وَتُرِيدُونَ تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So whenever the shubha is mentioned, if it's a need to be mentioned, it must be clarified clearly. And the falsehood of that must be made clear as daylight for the people to understand so that it will not affect their hearts. Because if they do not understand it, like Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned, you are not going to speak to some people about a narration or about a topic that they do not understand or that their intelligence did not comprehend, except for it will be a fitna for some of them. So also from some of the mistakes that some people fall into, they'll mention these doubts, and maybe it will be a strong misconception, maybe for the layman and the likes like this, and then they will not refute it clearly. They will not clarify his refutation properly. And then they will leave it in this manner. Or they'll mention some general and basic refutation without a clear detailed explanation of that. And therefore, it could be a fitna for the layman and for those people who do not understand clearly. So this is an important point with regards to the names and attributes likewise. That a believer, he will teach and he will learn likewise. And little by little and step by step, the foundations and the fundamentals first. And then upon that, he will build the detailed information and the detailed knowledge of this ilm. After this, the author he says, وَرَوَى عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ عَنْ مَعْمَرْ عَنْ إِبْنِ طَابُوسِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ إِبْنِ أَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ رَأَى رَجُلًا تَفَضَى لَمَّا سَمِعَ حَدِيثًا عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الصِّفَاتِ اسْتِنْكَارًا لِذَلِكَ فَقَالَ مَا فَرَقُ هَؤُلَاءِ يجدون رقة عند محكمه ويحركون عند متشابهه انتهى. Then he mentioned رحمه الله ولما سمعت قريش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الرحمن أنكروا ذلك فأنزل الله فيهم وهم يكفرون بالرحمن. The author he mentioned and he says and Abd al-Razak has narrated, Abd al-Razak ibn Hammam As-San'ani, he died in 211. Ma'amar ibn Rashid, Abu Urwa, Rahimahullah, Ma'amar ibn Rashid, he died in the year 154. An ibn Tawus, his name is Abdullah ibn Tawus, he died in the year 132. An Abihi, Abuhu Tawus ibn Kaysan, from the great scholars of Tafsir and the scholars of the Tabi'een. His name is Tawus ibn Kaysan, from the great scholars of Hadith and Tafsir, and from the Tabi'in, he died in the year 106. He is from the Mawali, and he's from those freed slaves from the Tabi'in who became imams in the deen. Rahimahullah, he says, and he's narrating on Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, that he saw a man in Tafadha, in Ihtazza, and he started shaking. He began shaking and feeling uncomfortable whenever he heard Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma speaking, narrating on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a hadith about the sifat. Whenever this man, he heard Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma narrating a hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, he began shaking and showing discomfort and dislike to what he's hearing. And so, and he rejecting what he's hearing and the likes like this. So Ibn Abbas, he said, what's ma faraqu ha'ula? And what is causing these people to become afraid? Al faraq, al khawf. Also, another interpretation, ma faraqa ha'ula. These people, they do not learn how to differentiate. It's been read like this more than one way. But the meaning is generally the same. Why are these people afraid? يَجِدُونَ رِقَّةً عِنْدَ مُحْكَمِهِ وَيَهْلِكُونَ عِنْدَ مُتَشَابِهِ. And they find رِقَّة, any lean. They find it easy. And they accept the verses that are clear to them. And they are destroyed and misguided with regards to the verses that are unclear to them. Or they find رِقَّة and ease. And they accept the texts that are clear for them. And as for the ones that are unclear to them, then they are destroyed and misguided with regards to this affair. So here we see a number of benefits from this narration from them is that it's from the methodology of the Sahaba that in their gatherings, they would teach the people the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he is narrating a narration from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the issue of the sifat. And there was someone from the layman there who heard something from this narration. And he denied that, and he did not accept that, and he had a shubha with regards to this, and Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, he refuted him with regards to this, and clarified this issue. Yani that, and this is the case of having a weakness in knowledge. Something may be unclear to somebody because of ignorance, and because of a weakness in knowledge, and because of that he will belie and deny something from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah. He will belie or deny something from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah because it's unclear for him, because of his ignorance. Someone may mention a narration that the meaning is known and clear for the people who have foundations in the religion, and the people who have the fundamentals in the religion. It will be clear for them how to understand that narration. But a person who is ignorant of those foundations and fundamentals, he may hear it and then disbelieve it and belie it and deny it and find fault with it and the likes like this. And he, because he's relying upon his intelligence and not upon the principles of the religion. So this is another clarification of any of the dangers of ignorance, especially in the issues of creed. And he, so he reprimanded them. They find it easy, and they find ease in their hearts to accept that which is clear for them. As for that which is not clear for them, then they're destroyed now. And by misinterpreting this text and misunderstanding them. But what is incumbent upon a believer and the obligation of faith with regards to at-tawheed and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe in everything that has been affirmed. Is to believe in everything that has been affirmed in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, whether one he understood that or not. He affirms all of that. Everything that is affirmed from the names and attributes of Allah in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, it's an obligation to believe in all of that. That which is clear for a person from that, and that which is unclear for a person. And that which is unclear for a person, then he will go back and he will ask the people of knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He will ask for the clarification of that, but he will not belie it, and he will not deny it, and he will not hear something like that and then think that this is not proper or this is not suitable for Allah. And the likes like this based upon his misunderstanding. And this also goes back to in one of the readings of this narration, مَا فَرَّقَ هَؤُلَاء. These people, they don't make no difference. They do not differentiate between the proper understanding or between the truth and between the falsehood. And they have no furqan. They have no knowledge, which is a criterion for them in order to understand and to comprehend the likes of these texts properly. So because of this, they fall into belying and denying something from the Quran and from the Sunnah because of ignorance. And then the Shaykh, he closed this chapter by mentioning the reason for the revelation of the verse that had preceded. And whenever Quraysh, they heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning Ar-Rahman, they denied that. And then therefore Allah, he revealed this verse, وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ. And they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. It's been mentioned that this was the reason for the revelation of this verse. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would mention the name of Ar-Rahman, and they would say, we do not know who is Ar-Rahman. And they would belie Ar-Rahman, or they would say, look at him, he claims that he's calling one God, but he's really calling on Allah and Ar-Rahman. So who is his God? Like this, and their claim and their falsehood. So in this manner they belied one name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah had declared this to be disbelief. وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ, and they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman, meaning they disbelieve in Allah. The Shaykh, he says, فِيهِ مَسَائِلٍ, in this chapter there are issues and benefits. الْأُولَى عَدَمُ الْإِيمَانِ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ أَسْمَاءٍ وَصِفَاتٍ. The first issue here is to disbelieve, to not have faith, and to disbelieve in something from the names and attributes, meaning the danger of that, and the reality of that, that this is something very dangerous. And by belying one name or one attribute, a person is denying all of them in this manner like this. If he had disbelieved in this manner, it wouldn't be required for him to disbelieve in all of the names and attributes, but rather if he disbelieved in one of them. الثانية تفسير آية الرعد. Here, the second mas'ala is the interpretation of the verse in Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is the first verse the author he has mentioned, which has preceded. الثالثة تركوا التحديث بما لا يفهم السامع. The third benefit is to not speak to a person in a manner he does not understand. The person who does not understand something, one will not discuss issues with him that he does not understand. He will not discuss issues with him that he does not understand. If he's a child, he would address him according to the intelligence of that child. If he's a layman, he would address him according to the intelligence of the layman. If he's a student of knowledge, he will address him according to the level and the student of knowledge, and the likes like this. So each one will be addressed properly. As for to speak to the people about affairs in their religion that they do not understand, he will not do this because he will be a fitna for them. It'll be a fitna for them. So if a person he is teaching or trying to cultivate somebody and he sees that they don't understand a particular issue, and this is an indication that if they don't understand this issue, then the issue is greater than that, they don't understand likewise. Or if he didn't understand this issue here, then the next issue that's based upon that or similar to that, likewise, more rightfully, he does not understand. So he will not delve into those issues likewise with that person until first he rectified that affair and clarified that affair and built a foundation for that person and cultivated him upon the proper understanding. And then after that, he will be able to bear and to understand the knowledge that is greater than that. And this is the true way of the people of knowledge, that they cultivate and they raise the people. They cultivate and they raise the people. They do not throw the people into the wilderness of knowledge and evidence and proof and differences of opinions and the likes like this, and tell them to fend for themselves. Rather, they cultivate and they raise them in a beautiful manner until they're able to hold and to bear the knowledge and understand themselves in a good way. And this is from the beautiful manner of teaching. الرابعة, the fourth benefit, ذكر العلة أنه يفضي إلى تكذيب الله ورسوله ولو لم يتعمد المنكر. And he mentioned here the fourth benefit, of why not to speak to the people in a manner they do not understand, and why not to address them in topics they do not understand. And the wisdom behind this and the reasoning behind this is because it could lead to them belying and denying Allah or disbelieving in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if the person did not intend that. He did not intend to disbelieve in Allah, but he heard it and he disbelieved, or he heard it and he rejected it, or he heard it and he had a problem with it, and the likes like this. This is something that could happen to an individual, even though he did not want to disbelieve or to belie or to deny, and the likes like this. But because it was presented to him in the wrong manner, then this is the outcome of that. So therefore it's prohibited. Similar like this, and it come to mind now, what many of the people do today, entering the layman into issues of fitna, issues of trials of fitna, and differences of opinion between the mashaykh. And many of those laymen, they have no clue who those mashaykh are. One of them, maybe he does not even know the name of that shaykh, or it's the first time he heard that shaykh. And he will say to him, "What do you say about Shaykh so-and-so?" And he will say to him, "Who is Shaykh so-and-so?" And he said, "What do you say about Shaykh so-and-so?" He said, "I don't even know who Shaykh so-and-so is. Where is he from?" And he said, well he's this and he's that. And he's this and that, and making all these bad names and bad words about that person, about that Shaykh. And then, "What do you say about him?" "So I don't even know who he is." He said, "Well, you have to say something. You have to take a position." He said, "I don't even know who he is. How can I take a position? I don't even..." Throwing them into this wilderness of fitna that even the people of the Sunnah themselves, they have differed about. And it's a major issue. And then somebody will push them. And you have to take a position. But he'll even have the basic knowledge and understanding to take a position. He'll even maybe not even know what does it mean, take a position.
and the likes like this, and then he'll be boycotted and he'll be left. And there's examples of this many, many times. There's even examples when individuals, they have left the Sunnah. Waliyadu billah, there are stories that are true of individuals who have left Islam. They left Islam, they came to Islam and left Islam because of the likes of these dealings. Because of the likes of these dealings, this foolishness. This is ignorance. And this is stupidity, and this is desires and whims. And the people who do that, they're following their whims and their desires, either intentionally or unintentionally. Many times it's ignorant, it's ignorance. But the head of them, yani they have desires and they have whims. This should be known. This should be known that this happens because of desires and whims and personal goals and aims. Personal goals and aims. As for somebody who wants good for the people, he will not throw them and cast them into affairs that they do not comprehend and they do not understand. He will not cast them into affairs they do not comprehend and they do not understand. Rather, he's going to build them up. He's going to teach them how to worship Allah. He's going to try to help remove the doubts that they have with regards to Tawheed. They're going to try to clean their heart from living this dunya and the likes like this. And then whenever they're able to comprehend, if they get close to that fitna, he'll clarify for them. Many times some of the laymen, they'll be the furthest of the people from that fitna. They have no clue about it. And if they have no clue about it, they will not get involved in it. Maybe a year will go by, 2 years will go by, 3 years, maybe since now it's been 5-6 years that have gone by, somebody never heard about it until today. And then somebody throw them into it. This whole time, this whole fitna has been going by, they never heard nothing about it. And it didn't harm them whatsoever. And they're on a straight path. Upon Salafiyya, clearly. They just don't know about these details. Alhamdulillah. But he worships Allah. He obeys Allah in public and in private. He's striving to rectify his affair. And then somebody will come and introduce this. What about this person? What about that? I don't even know who this person is. And next thing you know, he put that shubha in him. And what does he do? He goes to Shaykh YouTube. And he opens it up, and now he's all over looking at this one and looking at that one and looking at this one and looking at that one. Before he didn't even know the man's name. And now his whole heart is distracted, and his whole life is corrupted, and now he's having doubts about his teachers, and it's a foul way. It's a foul way. And those so-called individuals are the good and reliable and the upright recommended people to benefit from. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أُسْنِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَذِرْ السَّاعَةِ. You see that the authority has been given to the people who do not deserve it and do not qualify for it, then just wait for the hour. This is from the signs of the hour. الْخَامِسَ كَلَامُ وَبْنِ عَبَاسٍ لِمَنْ اسْتَنْكَرَ شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَهُ. The fifth benefit is the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, for the one who belied something from those names and attributes, and that this is something that would destroy him. And this is something that would destroy him. Many will misguide him and mislead him. So again, to clarify the dangers of this affair and the importance of learning it Tawheed properly and learning the fundamentals and the foundations of the religion little by little and step by step, and to persevere in seeking knowledge and to not become hasty and to not think that one has reached a level he has not reached. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا عَرَفَ قَدْرَ نَفْسِهِ. May Allah have mercy upon a man, upon a slave, a person who knows his own level. So in this manner, yani a person, he will build his deen. He'll cultivate himself upon the religion. Yani by first knowing the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge who are qualified and who are upon a good way. And they have the proper creed and they have the proper methodology and the proper manners and etiquettes, and the benefit is seen from them. And you learn from them and you benefit from them, and they will cultivate the person little by little by little until they're strong, until they're upright, until they have foundation, until they have benefit with them. They're able to see. They're able themselves. They can read the text and see. They can hear the falsehood and clear, and they'll know it because they have keys. Because they have keys. Many times we will find in the Quran and the Sunnah general refutation. General refutation by mentioning attributes. Attributes of falsehood and the people of falsehood. Many times attributes of falsehood and the people of falsehood. And very rarely will you find the name of an individual mentioned. The name of an individual mentioned and his falsehood. Very rarely. And so the point from this is that what is important for believers to learn the truth clearly with its evidences, and then after that learn the falsehood likewise clearly with its evidences. Know the attributes of truth and the people of truth, and know the attributes of falsehood and the people of falsehood, and then a person, he'll be able to identify himself. He'll be able to identify himself. Whenever somebody comes with some innovation, and when somebody comes with some falsehood, he will be able to see it himself. He will not need somebody to go and say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so is this, and so-and-so, the son of so-and-so is that, because he will see it himself. Not to misunderstand, no doubt refuting individuals by their name is also legislated, but this is with knowledge and with wisdom, and for those people who are qualified. And in the beginning, a person, he will not be refuted by his name if it's possible. And this is the way of the Prophet. مَا بَالُوا أَقْوَامٍ يَقُولُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. How come we hear so-and-so saying this and saying that? What about I hear people, they're mentioning this and mentioning that? He will not refute by names in general. But if it's needed, he will mention the names, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly. And likewise, the people of knowledge. Many times there will be an innovation or some misunderstanding or a statement that is incorrect, and it will be refuted, the statement. And the likes like this, without going directly into that person. But if that person persisted upon falsehood and upon that way, his name will be clarified for the benefit of the general population of believers. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But my point here is, which one is better? For someone to sit around and wait all the way until finally that person is warned by his name? Or for a person to have built a foundation and fundamentals in his religion and his life that he knows that person is upon falsehood before his name is mentioned? You understand the point? And the one who builds a foundation, he learns the principles of the religion before it reaches to the extent that that man's name is mentioned. And the likes like this, he will be able to hear his statements, and he'll be able to see what he's upon, and he'll be able to identify himself he's not upon a clear way. If he doesn't know directly his falsehood and the aspect of his falsehood, he'll be like, at least he knows he's not upon a clear way. There's something strange about his statement. There's something strange about his issue. What he's mentioning here is contrary to what I've learned from the foundations and from the usul. Like this, so therefore he will be automatically safe. And then whenever the direct refutation comes and his name is mentioned and he's warned from directly by his name, a person, he will know, he already know that from some time, because he has light, because he has keys of knowledge. So this is the point. This is the point, to build the foundation, to learn little by little, to learn step by step, until a person is standing on a strong foundation in his religion. In this manner, he will be able, by the permission of Allah, to see far. He'll be able to see trials and fitna before they come. Whenever they're approaching, he'll see them from a distance. Instead of some people who have no knowledge, they don't see them then until after they're involved in them, and after they're wiped out by them, and after they're destroyed by them or affected by them. But the one who has the knowledge, by the permission of Allah, he'll be safe. Al-ilmu yahrusuka. Al-ilmu yahrusuka. Knowledge, it protects you by the permission of Allah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.